do experience.
Today's episode is about hashtags. Some people really hate them. Some people use too many of them. And there are very few people who can kind of make them work without seeming obnoxious. So I use hashtags all the time, but I try not to overdo it, even though I think on platforms like Instagram, there seems to be a cascade and a waterfall and a deluge of hashtags, from relevant ones to irrelevant ones to people wanting to jump onto a new hashtag that's come about and is suddenly popular. So even if it's not relevant, people end up using it in their updates, which is, again, I think it's not a good long-term strategy. But again, I mean, it's up to you really what kind of brand you're trying to create and what kind of audience you're trying to attract. So I've seen that a lot of photographer communities, for example, especially for younger and upcoming photographers, they tend to overuse a lot of hashtags like Insta photo, Insta photographer, today's Insta update. I mean, I don't even know half the hashtags. They might get you noticed by other photographers, but as I keep repeating to all my young friends, that you have to understand that it's not, I mean, sure, you have an audience, but you also need to think of who's paying your bills. So who are the people who are actually putting their money where their mouth is, and what kind of, you know, professionalism or updates are they expecting from you? So I think hashtags are important. I think hashtags are great. I think it's a great way to add context to an update. I mean, it's not just about making an update and that's it. Just adding one word hashtags or two word hashtags can give context to an otherwise, something that might not seem really relevant. For example, I think hashtags, especially on Twitter, are really cool. Because you might write a sentence, but people might not understand what is the context or why are you saying a certain thing. But the moment you put a hashtag, like if you're in, you go to an event, okay, and you're like, oh wow, this ice cream is amazing. Now, this ice cream is amazing is great. You take a photo and you put it up, but people don't know on what context you mean that. I mean, an ice cream can be amazing, me sitting at home eating ice cream for breakfast. But you also add a hashtag with the name of that event. So what happens then is that people are like, oh, so this person is at this event, which is where they're having this ice cream. So if you're also there at that event, you're like, maybe I should also see where is this ice cream available. So you see what I mean? You kind of add context to that statement or to a photograph. Now, hashtags are really great when it comes to brand campaigns for influencer marketing. But I've seen too many brands and too many influencers doing it completely wrong. I think for brand campaigns, hashtags should be, again, contextual, and they should be identifiers. They should help branding. It's not just about saying that, okay, so I'm going to be, if you're working with a jewelry brand, for example, it's not just about saying, oh, hashtag diamond, hashtag gold, hashtag silver, hashtag jewelry. You're making it generic. The idea is to give context in terms of what the brand is and what is the influencer bringing to the table. So one of the easiest ways to do it is to use the influencer's name, considering they are a brand themselves, and then using the brand name. So, you know, if I work with a Nirav Modi, for example, I'll say hashtag Naina small x to denote into and Nirav Modi. So hashtag Naina into Nirav Modi. So it says that, okay, this is something that I have done with Nirav Modi, or that Naina has done with Nirav Modi. So two brands have come together. It's a collaboration. So that's an identifier. Now, apart from that, the brand might have a campaign, right? That recently, for example, M&M's launched in India. Okay. So their hashtag was M&M's in India. So that's a contextual hashtag. Even if you don't really read or see what's in the image or in the update, the moment you see the hashtag M&M's in India, and I mean, hopefully you can see that it's about M&M's, you're like, oh shit, M&M's are in India now. So that's a great hashtag. And so I did Naina into M&M's, for example, plus M&M's in India. So I think that's a good way of using hashtags. Don't try and overdo it. Like, you know, maybe you can add hashtag chocolate to it, because that's what the brand likes being identified as. But don't do the whole, you know, color and M&Ms and India and, you know, 50,000 things. Especially on platforms like Twitter where there really is no space. So I think maybe one or maximum two hashtags included in the update is fine. But anything more than that, and then what is the message that you're trying to give out? There's no message really going out, is there? On Instagram, you can kind of take a bit more leeway. Like sometimes when I post my travel updates, you know, so I have all this vacation, travel photographer, travel blogger, this, that, and the other. So on Instagram, there is space. You can kind of do that. A lot of people say that if you do that, you tend to get more likes and all. I don't think anybody's been able to prove that. I don't know if there is proof for that. It's just something that people feel, but I'm not sure if it works. Still, to be on the safer side, you know, all of us end up adding all those hashtags. I don't know if it does anything. Hashtags, I mean, they originated, there was this guy who actually created them first and they were used in coding and stuff. But the hash symbol and then hashtags kind of became a thing on Twitter first. And I think on Twitter especially, it's a great way to communicate and add context on anything that you're trying to talk about. Going to an event is just an example. For example, when I was moving here to Gurgaon from Noida, I used the hashtag Naina moves to Gurgaon. So whenever I said, oh, what is the electricity situation, hashtag Naina moves to Gurgaon. So that kind of gives you an idea that, oh, someone is moving to this city and they are asking about electricity. Without, you know, me actually saying, oh, so I'm moving to Gurgaon in every update. If I have to make 20 updates, I just have to ask a question and then hashtag Naina moves to Gurgaon. So it becomes an identifier and it also gives context to what it is that I'm talking about. Now, someone has also asked me to talk more about how I came up with my hashtag Eyes For series. So there's Eyes For People, there's Eyes For Destinations, there's Eyes For Luxury, Eyes For Lifestyle, Eyes For Street Style, Eyes For Fashion, Eyes For Dining. Then there are also hashtags for specific places, like there's Eyes For Dubai, there's Eyes For Paris, Eyes For London, etc., 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 etc. Now, the idea behind it was, one, I wanted an identifier without making it very specific to my name. Now, my name, Naina, means eyes. So, the natural thought process in my head was that maybe I could do something with eyes, but I didn't want to make it corny and it doesn't fit in some cases. For example, which one was the latest one? I think the biggest one that I have a problem with is Eyes For Dining. I mean, it wasn't really, should it be about food? Should it be about restaurants? If I'm talking about a chocolate, does that count for dining? Because it is kind of about food, right? So that is the hashtag that I've had the biggest problem with. I'm not really sure what I'm going to do with it. And the other one that I have not been able to figure out is the one where I started with hashtag Fragrance of the Month. It eventually turned out that I wasn't being able to post stories every month. So Fragrance of the Month doesn't really work anymore. But I can't really say hashtag Eyes For Fragrance because I'm not spraying it in my eyes. I'm smelling it. So that's another one. So you can run into issues like this, but 99% of the times it works. Again, it's an identifier, especially for my brand. So I can use, you know, if I traveled, like recently I was in Missouri, I was working with JW Marriott in Missouri. So the hashtag I've used there is hashtag Naina into JW Missouri. And I also use my hashtag Eyes For Destinations. So it's clear that it's about travel. Also what happens is that if you are, for example, on Instagram or on Facebook or on Twitter, and if you click on that hashtag, so for example, if you click on hashtag Eyes For Destinations, you will get to see everything travel related that I have ever posted. So that's another thing. I mean, I don't know if people actually do that, but it's a great way of, you know, that is why per assignment also, I think it makes sense. For example, my Naina into JW Missouri. Now, if someone clicks on that, they'll be able to see everything that I've posted related to that specific assignment. Now, it might be more useful to other brands who might be considering working with me. It might be useful to my competitors to go and click on it and see, oh, what has Naina done? But I think for me, it fulfills that same age-old, thing that I had where I wanted to document what I was doing. So having a hashtag allows me to quickly just click on it and be like, oh, look at all that stuff that I've done. It also helps because, you know, it's all tied into my blog categories. So the blog is nena.co, and then you write nena.co/category/eyes for destinations. So that's the travel category on my blog. Similarly, there is a luxury category. So same, nena.co/category/eyes for luxury. And all the luxury brand assignments that I've ever done will show up there. Similarly for all the other categories. So it's like a, it's a brand category. It also is a blog category, and whatever genre of brand I'm working with, so it kind of brings it all under that. If you want to go back to whatever I've shot or done when I was in Dubai, you go to Eyes for Dubai. I have, of course, also gone and actually booked some of these domains. Not all of them, because that's not possible and it is way out of my budget to do that for every hashtag that I come up with. But I do have domains, like I have eyesfordestinations.com, I have eyesforluxury.com, I have eyesforlifestyle.com, eyesfordubai.com, and some of the top cities that I really want to do more work in. So those domains I have. I even have eyesforgurgaon.com because I live here, and after moving from Noida, I was really excited. So I was like, I am going to go and do more stuff here. So I'm just trying to kind of give you an insight into how my brain works. I mean, it's very hard to define categories also for someone like me, because there is so much that I do. It's very easy to kind of go overboard and have like hundreds of hashtags. So I have tried to keep it limited. If there is something that I feel is a new category and I don't think it fits into something that I already have, I just put it under Eyes for Lifestyle. Like, I'm going to be doing a series on vitamin supplements, and I'm going to be talking about things like, you know, the iron supplement that I take, or the omega-3 supplement that I take. Now, these, I could easily say Eyes for Fitness or Eyes for Health, but I don't think it is a category that I will be covering as a specialist. I will be covering it as a generalist. So I've decided to put it under Eyes for Lifestyle. I will still be using hashtags like hashtag fitness, hashtag health, whenever I make social media updates, or when I use it on my blog. So there are keywords, right? There is a tag field and you add keywords in that. So it's, you can think of hashtags like similar to keywords. If you have been blogging, then the way you use keywords is kind of similar to how you would use hashtags on your social media. And that was the idea behind my Eyes for hashtag. I mean, I end up using it for a lot of things. But it is very specific to, you know, about 10 to 12 particular categories that I do focus on. Like, I saw street style, I shoot a lot of street style. There is at least one update that goes out every day on the blog and on my social media. So if you go to Instagram and you click on the Eyes for Street Style hashtag, you'll see all the updates I've ever made. Now, none of these are trademarked. I haven't done the legal thing and gone and trademarked them, but I have used them. I mean, I was the first person to use them, so they exist, and I have that kind of thing online, that if tomorrow, if there is a trademark dispute, I can always go and say that, hey, you know, I use these first, so the trademark belongs to me if I have to file that. And of course, I own the .com domain, so I think that makes a lot of difference. These days, I think it's really hard to come up with more, you know, very brand specific, unique hashtags, because most names are taken. So I think branding is especially important if you're an influencer. If you are going to be working with other brands and you want to create your own identity, I think a personal brand is very important in the long run. Again, this is all assuming you already have good quality work, good quality writing, you have good language skills, you have good photography skills, you have good images on your blog, and you actually work on features that make sense. After that is done, then you can think of that, okay, you know, my name is whatever, and you can look at your name in what it means in the Indian context, for example, and maybe you can think of words in different languages that mean the same thing, and then you can use that as the hashtag, you know. So I can give you an example, like in French, eyes is y-e-u-x, I don't know how to pronounce it, I think it's your, and you can do y-e-u-x something, you know. So that becomes like a hashtag. Or someone's name is Suraj and they want to do like a hashtag, so they can, instead of doing Suraj into something, they could do Sun for whatever. So again, it sounds really pathetic, but you get the idea what I mean. Especially if you're looking at creating hashtags for your brand. And of course, the simplest one to do is your first name into whatever brand you're working with, Or is it like in Akanksha's case, my sister, she uses Redhu into the name of the brand. So I use my first name and she uses our last name. And I think if we ever worked together, we would use both the hashtags. So it would become Naina into JW Missouri and Redhu into JW Missouri. So it's, you know, it's that's like the simplest way of doing it. If you have a really long name, then maybe you can create a short form of that and use that. But I think it helps to create identifiers, which is the biggest problem these days in the market. Everyone, if everyone uses the same hashtag, how do you stand out? You need to obviously first have good content to put out, and then you need to create a unique identifier where if someone clicks on Instagram on my Eyes for People hashtag, for example, they should be able to see all the portraits that I have ever shot, and they should be like, oh wow, you know. So it's like a campaign. Of course, anyone else can also use those hashtags. So when you do click on Eyes for People, for example, on Instagram, you will find some weird looking photos, and anybody can really co-opt the hashtag. You can't really stop people from doing that. It's just one of those things that you kind of have to live with. I mean, if a hashtag becomes popular and someone decides, hey, this is a very popular hashtag, let me use it and post it on my photo, even though that photo has nothing to do with that hashtag. You can't really enforce that unless maybe you're a really big ticket brand who works with Instagram closely. Then maybe you can have someone actually sitting and looking at what are the updates that are going out, and you can ask, you know, for those posts to be reported or suspended. I'm not sure how that works. So yeah, today's session was about hashtags. If you have any more questions about hashtags, I can answer them. Although I think I've covered pretty much everything. I will mention in the blog post and in the notes below who was the guy who came up with the hashtag, and you can read more about it. You can figure out what the actual hashtag symbol means. It was called an octothorpe. It is called an octothorpe. And I'll link you to the Wikipedia page and everything if you're interested in reading all that. And yeah, thanks for listening. See you next week.